12?
It's just after I see a movie, I like to go get a piece of pie and talk about it. It's sort of a little tradition I have. Do you like to get pie after you see a good movie?
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast, a show that compares the ridiculousness of America's president with Fredonius. I am Oscar, and with me today is...
Ralph.
The fuck was with the long pause? No dead air.
I love it. That's the fun part.
Yeah, actually, we're not an official radio podcast, 32. Though, so it really doesn't matter. It's just weird to hear it. What would you say?
32.
What's 32?
What I am.
You are 32. Are you 32?
In Pokemon Go.
I was going to say, what? No, you're not. You look 30. You threw me off there. This is episode number 53. And what we do typically on the show is that we review three films, and today is no different. And those three films are going to be The Incredibles 2. Actually, I think it's just Incredibles 2. But anyway, Incredibles 2, which is making all the money. All the motherfucking money right now. We'll also be doing not a blast from the past, but a blast from March or February of this year. We're going to be reviewing Pacific Rim Uprising in exchange for the Rogers documentary that we did not have time to see in time, unfortunately, but I am planning on catching that up and telling you guys about it. And then we'll finish our show today with a review of a marathon pick we have. What we do with the marathons is that we just choose like a topic or a theme and we run with it with a few titles that each of us pick. This is Ralph's pick, and Ralph's pick is Duck Soup. We're going to be reviewing Duck Soup today, which is from 1933, so that's an oldie but a goodie. And today's show can be found always at our website, otherpodcast.com, as well as other shows. Our bonus shows as well. Bonus, how that works, Ralph, if you don't remember. Bonus shows work is that if you donate any amount, could be a dollar, could be 50 cents, could be whatever you want, $1,000, you get the bonus episode that we are reviewing in, as an extra added bonus, of course. For that month, you get that episode. So this month's bonus episode for those who donate is going to be that horror movie that's making all the headway with, let's face it, it's making headway with a lot of white audiences, Hereditary, which I've seen already, and I'm just waiting for Ralph to see it. And you'll get it at the end of this month. I hope, Ralph, anyway, because she ain't going to see it. She ain't saving you out of this bonus. That's my point. And then for those who donated 5 months ago are getting the release for the public, which is Phantom Thread, which Lexi did help me out with. So that's going to be wonderful. Check our website out for that. We're also, what we do here on the show before we get into our reviews, we talk about recent discoveries. This is what we've been watching separate from each other during the 2 weeks that we are apart before the next show. And let's get into it right now. Ralph, you're going to start us off with a televised four-year in the making event, or it's been 4 years since the last time, and what is that?
Oh, dude, I only watch sports, so I don't have time to
that's
do
television.
Anything else.
That's drama. Television. That's suspense.
I mean, it's flopping for sure. That's drama.
I mean, it's definitely a lot of running.
A lot of running, yeah. I'm obviously watching the World Cup, guys.
Sweet. Me too, but not as much as you.
Right. I've tried to see at least a match a day since it's all qualifying right now for the second round.
Right.
So there has been a match a day since the 14th, I think. And some pretty good matches. Pretty good stuff. Overall, it's interesting. So I've been having fun with it.
Give the big event for us, you know, nationally speaking. The win against Germany, right?
Yeah, I was like, the United States didn't qualify.
No,
but
yeah. Sorry, guys, fuck them. Mexico.
Mexico, right.
Yeah.
Mexico beat Germany for the first time since 1986.
It's been that long?
Yeah, they've only tied or lost to them.
You're kidding me.
And the last time we played against them in a big stage like this, we lost 7-0, which was in the last World Cup.
Was it 7-0?
They beat us 7-0.
I think I remember that now. Yeah. Yes, in Brazil.
And Germany made us, you know. Humiliated us.
It made us eat their lunch or whatever they call it.
Yeah, so us beating them was a gigantic win.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's almost bigger than the actual game itself.
The meme game, well, it's a stress reliever to Mexico because it's a wall that they passed that they can take weight off their shoulders and just
get that confidence to get a momentum
going. That's
exactly
what it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That can work.
The meme
miracles.
Game in Mexico has been strong.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I've seen some already, actually. Mm-hmm. Even though I did not catch the game live, I've been catching it slowly but surely here and there whenever I have time and can do it. Because unfortunately, some of these games, since it's in Russia, guys, for those who don't know, I know we're Americans, you're not supposed to know. But They have it like sometimes really early in the morning, and I just can't fucking do it. It's like the worst time for me, so I have to yeah. watch it on YouTube and shit.
Yeah, most games are 7 a.m. start time, then it's 10 a.m.
Yeah, 7 a.m.
Then it's 10 a.m. or something, then it's 1 p.m.
Yeah, so that's never happening for me.
Right, and I think the
like, I woke up to you guys cheering, you know, like that's like it was for me.
Right.
So.
Well, it was really cool because it was Father's Day when Mexico
that's
won.
Right. Also more perfect, and yeah. It was pretty great.
Well, it was three generations of us, of my family, watching it.
So it was me, my son. I was going to say three fathers. I was like, what was the third one?
It was my dad, me, and my son.
Yeah, I know what you meant now. I thought you were going to go with the three generations of fathers. I'm like, what? Where is I'm like, Leo
I
already?
Not going there.
Well, I don't know what you're doing. Okay, cool. Yeah, and that's very cool. And what's the next game, if you don't mind, if you know the roster really well, you're anticipating next?
The next game since we're recording?
Sure, next in general.
That I'm looking forward to?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the one I was looking forward to happened today, and it's horrendous, was Argentina-Croatia.
What happened there?
3-0, Croatia.
Croatia won.
Yeah. Argentina gave up after the second goal. And the third goal just came in to come in.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And the first goal was given
away.
Croatia's
strong.
The first goal was given away by the goalie. The goalie fucked up.
But Argentina ain't no slouch either.
Argentina's not a slouch, but they have a lot of pressure on themselves yeah. for no reason, because of Messi mainly.
Because they won. Didn't they win 2-1 ago? 3-1 ago?
No, they've never won with Messi.
They've never won?
No, they haven't won with Messi.
Not with Messi, but three World Cups ago?
No, Messi was still in there, I think.
So, okay. So it must have been before that.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyways, the next game I'm looking forward to is actually, so of course to say, is Mexico-South Korea.
And that's another qualifying for the first round, I
think. Yeah, because Mexico wins, they qualify.
Did South Korea win their game?
No, they lost against Sweden.
Oh, they lost against Sweden.
So South Korea is going to come at them hardcore.
Yeah, in order to stay in the game and potential.
And then the one after that is...
Mexico-Sweden.
Sweden versus
North Korea.
South
Korea.
Germany. No, Sweden versus Germany is coming up. And yeah. Sweden needs to either tie or win. Germany needs the win.
Yeah,
or else they're eliminated.
They're eliminated. That would be insane balls if that happens.
A tie means they have to beat South Korea.
Yeah.
Right? A loss means that they have to hope that if Mexico will win, it works weird. If they lose to Sweden, they have to hope that Sweden loses to Mexico, because they have to hope for the 3 points.
Yeah, it's got to match up, right?
Yeah. Although even then, they would be disqualified. They need a tie or a win.
Germany, I mean, everyone's saying, of course.
Germany needs a tie or a win, because right now Germany is in third or fourth place in the group.
Yeah, I know.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, because there are a lot, so not a tie.
Right, and it sucks. There's been some good games, but yeah. Overall, yeah, that's basically what I'm looking forward to.
And that's this
game
week?
Wise. Yeah, that's cool. This Saturday. So
I mean, I can't wait to watch the Expanse. That's my football.
Right? Oh, is that right?
Yeah. The new episode just came out.
I've been watching Simpsons a lot too, but it's all reruns. So
I don't think at least 10 years of material I've not seen. It feels like. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe 5 years at least, but 5 years for sure.
Yeah, I'll see sometimes a new episode. But very rarely. Most of the time, for me, it's all episodes that I've seen.
Right.
And I'm thinking about you, for me, as anything in the last 5-6 years also. So
Yeah. Sounds about right. Okay, so that's the World Cup. Rafa, I've been watching that. It's a show. It works. It's televised. We're counting it. Fuck it. I mean, it's an event, guys. The only sports I see is this thing. And so...
Sports ball.
I've seen a few films, of course. I've only seen two that I'm going to mention here. Two that I even shouldn't mention, but I'm going to. One is Death Wish, the remake.
You saw it?
Yeah, I did see it.
How was it?
It's awful.
That's what I thought it was going to be, but it was awful good or awful bad.
Why did you sound excited?
I don't know. I was kind of looking forward to it being like a really good B-movie.
It's not.
And
Eli Roth directed this movie, and I don't know why. First of all...
Bruce Willis in it?
Yeah, Bruce Willis is Mr. Death Wish. Now, have you ever seen the original with Charlie Bronson? Is that his name? Charles Bronson?
Wow. Not the original. But I've seen Death Wish 2.
Oh, the Death Wishing?
Yeah. 2 or 3. I forgot.
If you ever wanted to watch a really good B movie, like schlocky.
That's what I was hoping for.
Charlie Bronson thing. I mean, you would think, like, watch Death Wish. No. Watch Shinjuku. he makes a guy swallow a watch. awesome. As a torturing device to get information. And you see it. It's really, I mean, it doesn't see it, but it looks, they really go extra on the mile there.
Right, that's where the budget went.
That's the kind of shock I wanted. No, Death Wish is such a run-of-the-mill piece of shit movie. Honestly, Bruce Willis.
It was like February release, right?
And it also has, it also has a, I saw it because I was thinking like you, like maybe it could be fun. And
your hopes and dreams.
And Eli Roth, I'm thinking like maybe Eli Roth will go the extra mile with the horror stuff. And there are some little things like a neck snapping. But it isn't, it's the tamest version of Eli Roth. And on top of that, he doesn't include anything useful or special or interesting or anything in the movie. I could have made this movie asleep, Roth. That's how horrible it is. And so forgettable. I already forgot the biggest sin in the movie. I'm trying to remember. It's like towards the end or maybe at the end. You don't mind if I spoil it, do you? Do you guys mind if I spoil it? Spoilers for Death Wish starting right now. Don't watch it, but I'm going to say it. Is that so the cops that are chasing him because he's like this vigilante guy in the streets of Chicago. He at the end of it, the cop who's been chasing him basically finds out that it's him. It's been this guy all along. And he basically forgives him in this offhanded, really weird one-liner about like, you know, like they say something like quirky and he's like, oh, is it something like that feels that way? I don't remember the line, guys. I'm sorry. But it ends in like this way that seems like, did you just defend this? You were after this guy against him the entire movie for vigilantism, not to mention the havoc that creates.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when you find out it's him, you let it go because what, he saved his daughter? It was just awful. It was just so tonally fucked up. It's bad. It's just, it teaches all the wrong things about anything that's basically wants you to go out. It's just like saying, go out and get a gun, you're going to be okay. It's really bad. So, but I saw another, not a B movie, but a movie that looks about the same, but it's really good. It's Den of Thieves. Have you seen that?
I don't even know what that is.
Den of Thieves also came out around February or January. It's like a heist cop movie, cop criminal movie.
They're going to break into the unbreakable place?
No, not quite like that. It's more like, I'm trying to think of an example. There's some movies like this. I'm thinking of like Torque maybe, but Torque has style though. Den of Thieves is starring Gerard Butler, who plays a cop, going after this gang. It's like Heat. He's going after this gang of criminals who are really good armed robbers and shit, and they're planning to steal the biggest heist, right, of all things. And but to them it's the biggest thing, but it's not treating it that way. It's more like a crime thing. And it's actually kind of fun. It has a nice twist ending. It stars also the kid, Ice Cube's kid,
the actor. Ice Cube Squared.
Yeah, Ice Cube Squared. I forgot his name. Ice Tray.
Wow,
right. Come on. Anyway, and I found it very entertaining. All I wanted was some good action. They spend way too much time on Gerard Butler's family. Like, he's supposed to give a shit. He cheats on her all the time. And he's, like, surprised that she's leaving him. Like, okay, don't care. Can we move past it? He does it. He interrupts her, like, her life, like, three times in the movie. All three times we did not need. So if you cut that out, then you can watch the movie. But, yeah, it's a good otherwise. It's not a bad time if you want to watch a schlocky movie. I don't know why I wanted to see these two movies, but I was just
sometimes like, you need to.
Yeah, sometimes I just, you know.
I think sometimes you need to fill your...
You can't always watch something prestigious every day.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to watch a movie. You're just like, man, this other movie is so much better because of this.
Yeah, I seen these movies at 3 a.m. If there was like a showing of Deadpool 2 at that time, I would go watch that instead.
Hey, what do you think of that release of that AMC thing for $20 a month?
Oh, is that out yet? Or they just announced it?
Starts, I think, July.
I've heard about it last year. Last year was when the initial controversy started because I heard people talking about it. And I was like semi-excited about it. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. You want to do it?
3 movies a week.
That's a lot. Considering that unless you do the matinee on Tuesdays, you know,
It pays for itself if you go once a week.
It does pay for itself. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. Anyway, maybe we should take advantage, you and I.
Let's think of trying it for a month or two.
Yeah, see how it works. Maybe if it starts like you know, except for these times or whatever, then we're like, okay, fuck it. Anyway, well, that's another day thing. Okay, those are the two films I've been watching, and now we get into our first review of the evening. Sorry about the meandering, guys, but let's get it here to our meat of the episode, and we're gonna start with Incredibles 2.
It's time to make some wrong things right. Bring supers back into the sunlight. We need to change people's perceptions about superheroes, and Elastigirl is our best play.
Better than Me?
Whoa! I like Mom's new job! Bye, sweetie.
I'll watch the kids, no problem.
That's not the way you're supposed to do it, Dad. They want us to do it
this way. I don't know that way. Why would they change math? Math is math. Okay, math, Dad. Is math. Hello?
Hey, honey.
How are the kids?
Everything's great.
Is she having adolescence?
And Jack?
He's in excellent health.
Mr. Incredible is left to care for the kids while Elastigirl is out saving the world. In case if you did not know which movie this is.
This is the Supers? No, wait, the Fantastics. No, it's the Comparables?
The Incredibles.
Amazings. Oh, the Incredibles, that's right.
This is Incredibles 2, starring a bunch of old people.
Yeah, right, Helen Hunt.
Holly Hunter.
They always confuse those two. Mm-hmm. Damn it.
I got you.
Stupid H people.
Holly Hunter, Craig T. Nelson.
Bunch of H's. Damn. Yeah, Holly Hunter's way better than Helen Hunt.
Yep.
I just love her in Racing Arizona. I just love her. Okay.
Bob Odenkirk, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, that's right. Bob Odenkirk. Yep. Right.
This is directed and written by Brad Bird.
Sarah Vowell is in this movie, guys. Well, as a voice.
Yeah, Sarah Vowell. Yep.
I love Sarah Vowell. Okay, cool. This is also written and directed by Brad Bird, right?
Yeah.
The guy who did the first movie. Exactly. He did The Iron Giant.
Yeah, they did a big thing in the theater where they thanked us for waiting for 14 years. You remember that?
I hate that, though.
Yeah, I hate it. And, like, it's like they're apologizing to the parents or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I wish they did it right after the movie because they just, like, they were showing things about the movie. I'm like, we're here already. I don't need a commercial.
Yeah.
Like, you know, come on. I don't like it. It doesn't. I get it.
They do it in the beginning of the movie.
They mean well, but
they do it in the beginning of the movie to make sure that you saw it.
No, I know that's why they do it. I'm not saying I don't know why they're doing it. I just wish that they didn't.
Yeah.
It's a noise balls. Do you want to start with the short film ahead of the film? Because this is a Pixar Disney, so there's always a short film that they put in. Do you want to do that first, maybe, or is that too much, too little? What?
We can go quick into it if you want.
Well, do you want to? I'm saying, if you, you know, seem like you want to. I mean, it seems like this is all you, because there's a lot of parenting going on in both these films.
It made me hungry, so yeah, I guess.
Made me a little hungry too, bro.
Which was really bad, because I did not eat after work, and I saw this after work.
I was eating Reese's Pieces.
It was really cool, and it was kind of sad.
We're talking about Bao.
Yeah, we're talking about Bao.
Yeah.
It was really cool, but at the same time, it was,
pretty sad,
like,
yeah.
It wasn't super sad. But it was, I lost interest once the reality kicked in of it,
like, really?
Because it wasn't the meaning of it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were just getting it. But I felt something kind of powerful from the movie that we skip a lot in the growth age of Bao, I'm calling Bao as the kid.
Mm-hmm.
We skip a lot of his growth age because we focus a lot when he's a baby. And when he's a toddler and when he's a kid, and adolescence, we don't see him anymore. And it's almost like we're not there for their adolescence. Like our parents aren't there for their adolescence.
I think we did. We just got a little of it as opposed to...
Well, in comparison, that's what I'm trying to say.
Like when he was locking himself in the room or whatever.
Yeah, well, in comparison, we didn't get anything, you know, in comparison.
I think it got one scene. Is that what your beef was with the thing? Or?
No, after that. I'm talking about after that when there was actually a kid there and it was her real life.
Okay. Did you relate to it anyway?
No, my kid's still a kid.
No, I mean yourself, like to your mom.
No, I'm still cool with my mom.
Our mom, I guess. Mm-hmm. No, it has nothing to do with not being. Oh my god, it has nothing to do with that. The son doesn't like dislike hate or anything either. Yeah. That's just growing up or whatever.
Yeah, no, I did relate to it. Yeah, I related more of the fact that I think we have a lot of fond memories of when their kids are babies and kids, and I see this a lot because. Even at work, when I'll be like, your kid's old enough to hold their own stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, he's not. He's still a little kid. He's 15. He can hold piece of paper.
15?
Yeah. And I'll be like,
what,
he's
mother's
not a little kid anymore.
Holding back their 15-year-old.
Like, well, they want a hand to hold everything for them, you know?
Oh, okay.
So what I'm trying to say is, like, you'll see that, and you'll be like...
Shit, if anything, he's carrying my things if he's 15.
Right.
Or she.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, a lot of people are like...
That's why you almost have kids to make them work for you.
A lot of people see their kids as babies. for their whole lives, you know?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
So, yeah, there's a big reference to
that. Would it be strange for you if I told you that I found a lot more than I thought I would to relate to this movie?
No, you're about that age.
About that age of what? Like,
I don't know
what that means.
I was just making a joke about you being old.
Being old. I don't know if it was about me being childish. I don't know what you were going with for this. There's a lot of layers.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't sure. That's what I was asking. Yep. No. Just like the whole mom angle, I found a little bit of something there.
Okay.
Not to, you know, toot anything
about it. Yeah, my wife liked it. Let's go with that. She felt she had the feels for it. So.
Yeah, I think everyone did. It was a lot more adulty than I thought it would ever be. But it might be my definitely recent years worth of short films, better ones.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree with
that. Or best one or something. So that's Bao. Okay, we're done. Yeah. That scene where she eats the fucking thing was super sad.
Yeah, super weird.
It's funny because the audience expected to laugh and a joke, and it never was.
No one ever did.
And it never came in, and then people were like laughing.
No one laughed at my theater either.
No, people laughed, but they weren't sure because they thought there was something funny going to happen or a punchline to the eating, yeah. And then it never happened. I never laughed.
Yeah.
Because I almost knew what she was going to do right at the second before she did it.
Yes, sir.
So, like, I didn't laugh. I knew it was going to be like that. Anyway, whatever. I was in sync with the movie. Now the movie, the real movie. What are your thoughts of the last one, which came out 14 years ago, and then in relation to this one, and not just about, you know, being a parent or whatever, but just in relation to a sequel, to Pixar, what have you? What did you expect? What did you feel? What did you want?
This is the thing about this movie. I was really worried about this movie.
Yeah.
Because in between 14 years of the last movie, mm-hmm. we've had 10 years of Marvel movies. And
I know, because The Incredibles came out before the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Exactly. So, that being said, we had 10 years of Marvel movies, 10 years of being tired of the superhero genre, or maybe falling in love with what the superhero genre has become, or a little bit of both, a little bit of whatever, right? Regardless, so you're getting back into this. Now we're having an animated version of it, right? No, but it's technically something from the past, and we're picking up basically where we left off, which I thought we weren't. I thought we were just getting a snippet of what happened before.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, we're picking up almost literally right after where we left off.
Yeah, definitely.
So they never grew up just like The Simpsons.
It's one of the rare movies that does that, actually.
Yeah.
Not many movies do a sequel
but
right after.
Because it felt like the story was already made.
Yeah.
And they just never made it for 14 years later.
Yeah.
Could be wrong, right? I could be a little bit right, too.
So you expected an older thing. You expected them to skip like 5 years or something when they were like teenagers?
Something. Yeah, exactly.
Or Viya was more
A little bit more, yeah. I just thought we were going to get like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But not only that, but I was actually worried because this movie also loses a lot of technological things. So it was going to be hard if I'm going to fall in love with the world still. Because they're like technologically advanced, but not, because this was 14 years ago, and we've been a lot more technologically advanced these last 14 years.
Are you talking about just the animation style, or are you talking about the gadgets in the movie?
I'm talking about the actual in-world stuff. So they still have like phones, they don't have cell phones in the world.
Oh,
like,
well,
stuff like that.
They're in the 60s or 70s.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I was going to like the style anymore.
Gotcha.
Because of what we've had from current superhero movies.
That's so funny how you were preemptively like warning your body not to get so nostalgic, because I know that you loved the first movie.
I did, but I was telling myself, don't.
It's
yeah.
Like you were pre-planning to fight the nostalgia before that would even happen.
Yeah.
You were doing like somersaults before you even fucking watched the movie.
Yeah.
That sounds like...
Well,
yeah.
I was just kind of worried because I didn't know where I was going to be, because I saw a trailer and I'm usually good about not watching trailers.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel. The trailer made me feel really weird.
I only saw one, though, so...
Yeah, that's the thing. I only saw one also. Oh. I just saw it, like, three times.
Oh, no, I saw one once. I mean,
so, yeah. And I just didn't know how I would feel.
So, how do you feel?
I felt like I still fell in love with the movie, and everything still fell out great. So, the world, should I say. I still like the characters. I still like how everything fell into it. I like how the movie wants to broaden its horizons by opening it up to, you know, there's more than just this family. And Frozen.
Oh, yes. And Frozen.
Yeah, and Frozen.
It's like the sidekick.
Because it feels
family.
Like everyone died. And then in the first movie, they make it feel like, yeah, everyone's either really, really in hiding for the fact that people have been killing them off.
Well, the one guy killed like the top tier, right, or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it feels like they're also like maybe people just don't have it anymore, you know? And they're a dying breed.
And it's illegal.
Well, besides that, yeah, because I have people in hiding already. So, but I did like it. I just felt the movie was predictable, but it's a kid's movie, so I let that be.
Yes, I guess this is probably the least kids movie Pixar that I can think of. And I'm not just saying because, like, not saying because of its adultness or anything like that. Of course, I am saying because of that, but not just because of that. Like, it clearly has plenty of things that kids will love.
Yeah.
But I think more people are going to watch this because they saw it 14 years ago rather than kids wanting to watch it because it's Cars 3, for example.
Sure.
Cars 3 is going to appeal more to kids.
Yeah.
Incredibles 2 is going to appeal more to people who were there, who kids when Incredibles 1
first
came out.
Although my audience was...
my audience was a big...
Audience were teenagers.
Yeah.
If not early 20s.
No, I know. That makes sense.
And that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense because you were a kid when you saw it. So really a young kid.
Right.
And maybe you grew up watching it over and over again or something.
Exactly.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Yes.
That was my audience.
I got a little bit of that, but I saw it at our local station by the
The oldest people by there were all my friends and me.
And it was like, a lot of kids for sure, but the adults were as excited, if not more.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Like the parents.
What's it called? I also had a lot of laughing out loud in this movie.
Definitely. This movie played.
This movie did really well.
This movie played.
And I'm not a laugh out loud kind of person. Even in comedy movies, I'll laugh, but I'll laugh to myself.
No, man, I was laughing
out
loud.
This
and Deadpool has created the most laughter I didn't think that they would do. Like, more than I thought.
Yeah.
Possible. Yeah. And this because of Jack-Jack. Okay. Deadpool because of the X-Force
and
or whatever it's called.
My son loved Jack-Jack.
Dude, how do you not love that kid?
He loved Jack-Jack.
And also, a lot of people did not see that short film that we all know about Jack-Jack and the babysitter.
Right.
From the first movie.
Yeah.
And that one shows like his 17 powers or some of them, you know.
Some of them, yeah.
So, like, if you watch just the movie and you just get that punched on at the end, you don't know the array of shit
alone
he has.
That raccoon scene is amazing.
It's the best scene.
It's the best scene.
It's also the most useless scene because it's not needed at all. Doesn't move anything forward, but it's like a short film
really
in itself, and it's really cool.
So what's really funny about that part is that as I'm watching it, I was like, we don't need this in the movie. That's the first thing that came across my mind, I was like, but this is actually
And
really
it went longer than I thought, and I wanted
it really
longer.
Long, and I was like, and then afterwards, I was like, we didn't need that at all, but it was so good. It was still
the best
funny.
Scene. It's the one I talk about the most.
Yeah, and I was like, we didn't need this at all.
So how did
you
not have it?
And I was like, but...
It's like that whole world that in Thor Ragnarok, you know, that whole Jeff Goldblum world he goes to. Your most useless world ever. He was created just clearly to make fun. Just clearly to have fun scenes and action. That's it. And it's fun. It's my favorite part of the movie, but it's the most useless part of the movie.
Yeah, sure.
It's like the same thing, except that movie makes a whole middle part of the movie.
Yeah, of course.
This is just one scene. But, man, this Jack-Jack raccoon scene is... the bomb. I wanna almost go back, buy a movie ticket just to watch that scene again. So
yeah, no lie, that was really good. I might take Leo again to watch it again if he wants to.
Yeah, obviously we're not gonna spoil the movie yet. That's probably as far as the timeline will go for it. But so what I was talking about earlier about how this is the most adulty, even more than like, I don't know, the almost death scene of Toy Story or whatever you want to call it, or the memory stuff in Inside Out. Even more than that stuff, I think it's more adult because it's literally about parenting more than it is about the kids. The kids are barely in the movie, considering the first one, and considering, you know, it's a kid's film.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think the first one, we felt like the kids were in it more.
Because of the island and shit.
Because of the island and stuff, yeah. But we felt the kids are in it more because we're discovering their powers. They're learning of their powers with them.
Like, he can run on water, she can do the bubble
things
thing.
Things
like
that, yeah. They're getting comfortable with their stuff, right?
Right.
That's why I think the first one's like that. And the second one, we know their stuff already, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and now there's an actual purpose of what's happening and everything. So...
But it's much more about...
I still think it's more... I always thought the first one was still about the adults.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is.
The second one is even more... It just felt like very...
It opens with relocating superheroes.
It does, yeah.
So, like, yeah. I mean, no, they both are, but this one even more, I think.
Yeah.
And for a movie, again, that's clearly a studio that makes kids' films.
Yeah. They did a really good job with Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl. How their relationship works, a lot of tropey things, how the dad doesn't get things, but
yeah, very tropey. Another thing,
they feel very tropey, and it kind of irked me.
Not tropey, old fashioned.
Yes, that's a good word to use. It did feel like that, but at the same time, there was this moment of redemption in the movie with the fact that the old fashioned thing is. The wife stays home, all that jazz, right?
Right.
I'm not ruining anything from the trailers, right? That's not in the trailer.
No, this is still part of the beginning. She gets a job.
Yeah, she
wanted
the job.
It.
He's not the breadwinner anymore.
Right.
Right? That's the gist of the trailer. And that's the gist of the movie.
Considering the time, the decade they're in, I totally understand that. And I guess that's why they leaned into that old-fashioned, my wife is caring for us, and I'm taking care of the kids where I should be doing it, and yeah. She should stay home.
Right.
You know?
Right. So but there is this thing where pulls up his bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
He does what needs to get done, and he becomes what's missing in the family. He doesn't do what an old fashioned person would have done, which is just bitch and moan about it. Right?
Yeah. And he almost did it too far, but he didn't.
He
came out of it.
But I think it worked out well because he decides to pick it up. He decides to do whatever.
Learn new math.
Yeah, learn new math and do the behind the scenes things that he's never really had to deal with before.
Yeah. And obviously the best thing is discovering Jar-Jar has powers.
Right, exactly.
For example, all very good stuff, not only funny and kind of memorable, but also like it's just very, it works really well to his growth.
Yeah.
I guess as a character, because like in the first one, it's about like in the beginning of the film, it's about letting go of that. No, not letting go of just a superhero thing, but like, because he's being forced to do that. But I'm saying in a way like becoming a family man on top of that and what it means to have that responsibility. And not just like kicking ass all day. And in this one, it's about like, you know, one step further.
Yeah. Well, I also think this movie, part one was more about Mr. Incredible than Elastigirl.
Definitely.
And part two is more about Elastigirl than Mr. Incredible.
He's like having a midlife crisis. And this one, not doing the same, but in a way, you know.
Yeah.
You know, she's giving a chance to own up a lot of shit for and then take it over for the family instead of the guy. So, you know. It's good, and I like Elastigirl better because she's infinitely smarter than him. So, like, I like her figuring things out more.
One is the Juggernaut, and the other one's Professor Xavier. Like,
basically, yeah.
I mean, that's the gist of it, because one actually has to think to use their abilities.
He's clever about his ideas, but he's so destructive, which is another point they mention in the movie.
Yeah, they do mention that. They're like, yeah, insurance isn't going to
support Mr. Incredible, supposed to support Elastigirl, because her records are way better.
Yeah, exactly.
At damage. Yeah.
And then Frozone just laughs at them both.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's true. I mean, the guy destroys everything. He's super strong. The whole thing with the mole guy, it's so funny how the movie starts off where the last one ended, and they spin it off into this thing to remind you audiences that, remember, even though you love the first movie, they were doing illegal things.
Yeah, they were.
And the movie makes you audiences and the Incredibles confront that. They confront it with, you know, they put it into their face.
Yeah, the thing is,
and that
the
mole
first
thing
one
is
did,
an example.
Yeah, the first one didn't feel like it was illegal. Because
mainly on the island.
Mainly on the island, and it was all stuff.
And by the time you get to the city with that big black ship, the destructing thing, it felt like so necessary for them to join in and help out.
Yeah,
you don't think about it.
Right, they didn't stop at what happened on the island. They had to finish it. They couldn't leave it untouched.
I think it's good. I don't think it's like the best device ever to start a sequel, but it's really serviceable, and it works really well. I think you're on the same page, and do you have any problems with the film or any of the characterization, or if you want to talk about Edna or whatever before we get into spoilers? Because I do have a problem that creates other problems, but it has to do with the spoilers. So I'll wait for that.
We can get into spoilers now then, because I think I have the same problem.
Okay,
but we do have a similar problem.
We do recommend it. I think the action is clearly the best thing in this movie. Brad Bird does not know how to make a bad action scene or sequence. That thing with the motorcycles. Fucking awesome.
Phenomenal.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And who thinks of that? That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. If you ever bought a Happy Meal from McDonald's, you know the spoiler of that, which is Elastigirl has his bike that splits off and basically like a rubber band.
Why are you buying Happy Meals?
Because I don't have a Happy Meal. Your son has a toy that has that. And that's how I figured it out. That she must stretch out the bike in two so she can... He left it in here. By the way, these are his socks. You should really take them. He keeps leaving his socks here. The second he gets in here, he takes off his socks.
That means he's comfortable. Leave him be.
No, I do leave him be. But he leaves them in here.
Yeah, he doesn't
care. Oh, no, I don't tell him to put it back on.
He doesn't care about putting it back on. He just cares about taking it off.
Oh, no, I don't tell him not to.
He walks into the house and he goes, shoes off, socks off.
No, I get it, dude. I want him comfortable. I'm just saying, they're in here. Yeah. And he left his toy here, so don't be so surprised about the Happy Meal.
I heard you.
And that's a really cool idea. That's so badass. And she, obviously, that's a girl who was so cool in general.
Right. Spoilers?
Yeah, it's going to be spoilers for Incredibles 2 starting now.
Looks normal to me. When did this start happening?
Since Helen got the job.
I assume she knows.
Are you kidding? I can't tell her about this. Not while she's doing hero work.
Girl, come on. Leave the saving of the world to the men? I don't think so.
I've got to succeed so she can succeed, so we can succeed.
I get it, Bob. I get it. When was the last time you slept?
Who keeps track of that? Besides, he's a baby. I can handle it. I got this handled.
So, you good then? You got everything under control, right? What the?
Cookie. Cha-cha want a cookie. Nom nom cookie. Cha-cha want a nom nom. Nom nom cookie. Cookie.
You're not.
Cookie.
Oh my God.
Cookie.
What the fuck? Whoa. Okay. Okay. So, he can still hear you
from the other dimension, yeah.
That is freaky.
Okay, I wonder, what is your problem, Quibble, thing about this movie, and see if it's mine?
The other superheroes?
The other superheroes. Oh, the brick guy and the void girl and stuff?
All supers, all the other supers.
Okay, that's not what I was going with, but what are yours?
Just the lack of everything they felt through on there. They felt thrown on there.
They felt like a B team, but I think they were supposed to feel like a B team. Like
they didn't feel, I'm talking about, they just felt like thrown on there. They didn't feel like the B. We know that Mr. Incredible is the Alpha, right? Is Alpha team, right?
They're the A team,
right?
Yeah, sure.
And obviously, since the kids are learning from the A team, they feel like they're
well,
also.
It seems like they were brought up in a time when it was illegal and they weren't, so they have the more experience, right?
Almost like that.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah. It feels like that.
Yeah, okay.
That's one of my problems in the movie, right?
Yeah.
Besides the predictability of the movie.
I liked Void's power a lot.
So did I.
I liked her a lot.
So did I. But
she was annoying, but that's the whole point.
Yeah. Well, I just felt like she wasn't confident with her powers either.
Mm-hmm.
But
she was just a fangirl.
Yeah.
Like a fan to be a superhero, not a natural superhero yet.
Exactly.
I get it.
The other thing besides the predictability of this movie.
Oh, my God. The villain thing was so predictable.
Yeah.
I didn't know exactly how. I thought it was going to be... the guy, but or both. I didn't think it would be the girl only.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I did not figure out exactly, but
yeah,
I knew it was going to be
something.
I didn't
know if it was both or the guy.
But I knew.
Is the motivation. That it was the motivation for...
Or her thing?
Yeah, her thing.
You didn't like it?
No, I mean,
I'm with you. I hated it.
But I hated it because it was predictable, and I hated it because it was unoriginal.
It was unoriginal, and it was, for all that destruction... For everything she was doing and so adamant to do, be against superheroes and making sure it's all illegal, right? The perception of humanity against them, you know, that whole thing she was doing. I think it was so dumb to have it over something so... Nothing. We had nothing. We got sort of a semi-flashback about the dad. They made it about her dad. That we didn't care about this guy who was dead already. Like, it didn't work out for me. And I wish they explored an actual reason to why they shouldn't be. Like here's what I don't like. And people have been comparing this to the first one a lot because they're both the same in so many ways. For example, like, both of them have the same villain where they're awesome inventors who have a big gripe against superheroes for a very personal reason.
Yeah, I think there's...
And use their pride and their superhero-ness against each other, like they befriend them to betray them. They both have the same thing.
Well, they're both Lex Luthors.
Yes, in a way.
Yeah. The thing is, I actually think there's a big difference between the first one and the second one.
The first one more.
So do I. But I also think that his ability... He actually had an ability. And his ability was... Is super intelligence.
Syndrome?
Yeah.
Yeah, his inventions and shit?
Yeah.
This girl did it too. That small-ass camera, for example, that technology involving the brain scan.
This is the person who came... there's more, more reality factor for her.
Mm-hmm.
For the fact that they already had this company, and she went down the learning of this place, and this and that, and then R&D team, and she got all into all that stuff. Like, there's an actual backstory to her in comparison to Syndrome's.
Okay.
I think Syndrome's was a mix of him being like super smart, right? But it was one of I felt like he still had an ability. His super was being super smart. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yes and no. I think whatever backstory we could have ever gotten from Syndrome, we got it in that opening of the film where he is a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like following Mr. Incredible around. He's being annoying. But look at him. You're like, dude, he invented jet boots. How are we not giving this kid all the money in the world to make shit?
Right.
And obviously, Mr. Incredible and no one else, not even himself, sees the potential of that.
Yeah.
Right? And then he turns that into hate. So when he grows up, he's building things selfishly, for money selfishly, for acclaim selfishly, just so he could be able to play off as a superhero at the end of the movie, which is so misguided and goes against the intelligence that he supposedly has.
Yeah.
Which is stupid, but whatever, it happens. And that's the villain we end up getting, which I think is still more fleshed out than this girl. I already forgot her name in the movie. I know it's played by that actress. What's her name again? Fuck, I forgot. Catherine Keener. And I liked some of the stuff she was saying, but the movie never really explains a lot of that. Like, they just say it to say it.
Sure.
You know, when you think of what was the main villain's bad name? Her alter ego, the television guy. He had a name. You remember his name? Screen Slaver. Wow, thank you. Screen Slaver. Like, he was spouting his own things, and obviously his ideas are similar to hers. And Screen Slaver's gripe with superheroes were similar to hers, but not at all. And I wish it was just Screen Slaver, who had an actual worldwide agenda, like the shit he was saying when he interrupted the broadcast. Like, when he interrupted the broadcast and she was sneaking into his apartment, which might be the best sequence that isn't Jack's
thing. Yeah, Screen Slaver fits in today also great.
Yeah, it's so good. I love the stuff he was saying.
I agree.
But they never take it from there. They even make fun of, they're basically making fun of you, Rolf, sitting in that audience watching superhero movies in a way. You know, it's kind of meta that way. And they don't go anywhere with it. And it's so offhanded. You have to really pay attention to make sure you listen, because you're also watching Elastigirl sneaking into his apartment. So you may not pay attention. I was catching it. And it was a cool battle also in that room with the whole thing with the bright lights that they were warning you, which totally, if you're epileptic, don't watch this movie in theaters.
Right.
I will recommend that for sure. But and then they, you know, when they reveal it's her, I'm like, okay, so I guess we're not going to get any Screen Slaver options, cool stuff. And then she starts saying some things that kind of make sense. And then when she talks about just the father thing, I'm like, okay, this is just regular thing. It's just like a run of the mill bad guy person. And I ended up not liking that. I ended up having a little bitterness about this villain in my mouth, so to speak. Does that make sense? Does that track to you?
No, it does.
Okay. Yeah, she fell.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Okay.
I did like Screen Slaver a lot, actually.
I like his look, too. It was cool. It looked like a bug, like a metallic insect or something. Also, like he had the old-fashioned can radio things as a mouth. Yeah, what do you think of the kids ending up saving the parents, or having to save them by the end of it? Like, that was their mission, and they brought, obviously, Jack with them, which seemed to be...
Well, I think
not a great
the saving them was an accidental thing through Jack, right? It still shows that they still have a lot of learning to do, but I think it's... when they is not saving them from being the Screen Slaver's slaves. I don't know how else to put it.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? It was it's more of when afterwards, when they get together, they're like, no, you need to go do your thing. We have this under control. That felt rewarding for the kids, because the kids have been learning things.
Definitely.
And it felt like, oh, there's definitely room for improvement. There's definite, like, there's so much growth with them, should I say.
Yeah.
So I felt good.
I have a question that kind of leads, starts from the beginning of the movie, where it starts with the mole thing. So one of the great things about the ending of the first movie is that at right before the mole guy pops out of the thing, you know, they're like a family again, right? They're happy together. They understand each other. There's almost secrets, things like that. And then the mole guy appears, and everyone's wearing a mask. It seems like they're about to be... they're going to fight together. And they do. I mean, they kind of start off fighting together, but they don't, because then they start arguing about who's going to babysit Jack while the other three go out.
Right.
Were you excited and then bummed out like I was that this movie wasn't about a family superhero team?
Yeah, I did think there was going to be a family. But
and are they saving it for part three? Because it seems like they would be.
Right, but at the same time, the moment that I saw that, oh, well, we have to save Jack behind... at first, I was like, but why? He has abilities. But they're like, oh, they don't know he has abilities.
Oh, were you surprised by that?
And I forgot.
They didn't know?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I forgot that they didn't know.
Yeah.
And then after that first encounter, I was like, oh, that makes sense then. And I ate it, because I didn't have a problem.
Me either. But I was
I didn't feel bummed about it, because after that, I was just like, well, that makes sense. That makes total sense, because they need to take care of the kid.
Yeah. I was bummed out. Not like a lot. Obviously, it's still very much... The movie is so goddamn enjoyable. It's instantly rewatchable. I just wish it had more depth. I thought it would have more depth. You know, it's more shallow than you imagine. It's more old, not just old-fashioned. I'm not saying that's bad, but it's old-fashioned in a way that, you know, doesn't make it, like, doesn't have anything extra. Like, the stuff that's amazing about The Incredibles 2 is the action sequences, the pacing, you know, the stuff that it's, yeah, it's great that it has it, but if it had also an awesome story with, like, some fucking layers and maybe something, doesn't have to be political, but something, you know, something more to say about parenting that isn't, like, clearly obvious because he doesn't understand new math. Like, I think it makes me want to wish this movie was better. I think that's what I'm about. But this movie is pretty badass. I'm not trying to say this movie sucks. This movie is badass. And we'll watch it again in a heartbeat. Just like Deadpool 2 in a way. But, you know, Deadpool, I go in there anticipating nothing substantial. I just want to have fun and laugh. You know, I guess I expected more of Incredibles 2. Maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe that's my problem.
Maybe.
But it's not wrong with anticipating more. But anything, I feel like I've been taking over. Do you want to say something?
No. Okay, no, awesome. I mean, I liked a lot of the movie. What's it called? Yeah, no.
I liked the boy trying to figure out the velocity and distance to get her on the plane. Remember?
That's really cool. Thing because, like, if you don't think about it, everyone's a rookie here except for Elastigirl, Frozen, and Mr. Incredible.
Right.
All these people, yeah, they don't have the time to use their abilities
properly. Well, just experience. I mean, how many bad guys have they met?
Right, exactly.
Right.
So there's that, you know, and then there's the whole, that's why when I saw her using her abilities, she didn't feel confident with it. I was like you're in a costume, right?
Yeah.
Like, you look like you're in a costume, like fangirling. That's all you are. And I was like, you're not a real hero there yet, but they're calling you a superhero already. Like the kid, you're around the same as the kids growth wise.
Yeah, I got a touch of the Watchmen. Yeah, I know.
Only much, because of the owl, right?
Okay, now I have two reasons. No, I didn't think of that, actually. Yeah, very weird.
Okay.
Not a great power. But whatever. It's fine. No, I was thinking of The Watchmen. I know it's a much darker fucking movie. You know how they show the before pictures and after?
Yeah, yeah.
Like when they were starting off pictures. Yeah. And then the ones after that, and it's how some of them were replaced because they're dead.
Yeah.
And you see, like, this tiny thing.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know?
Comedian's
the only
although I did love the one guy's ability, the old guy, the heartburn guy. His ability the one was old guy. Amazing, yeah.
You liked it. I liked it fine. I didn't like it.
Well, I liked it because he never says what his ability is.
Oh, until you see it.
And you're like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, no, definitely worse as a punchline for sure. But I think it's supposed to gross you out a little bit.
It is. It should.
Because he calls it acid reflux. Well, right. We get acid reflux. He gets that.
Yeah.
You know, he gets that lava bursting thing.
It was just funny, though.
Yeah, no, definitely. It worked. Yeah, definitely. It definitely worked for me. So I think that's it on Incredibles 2. What do you think of the whole Tony... Oh, here's the thing. So the movie opens with Tony Reidinger and kind of ends with him. So kind of a weird bookmark. For a character we didn't have, like, adoration for him from the first movie, right? It was just someone Violet liked, right? That was weird. I don't know if weird, bad, or weird, good. It was just weird, normal. And because the movie opens up with him being his mind being erased. And it reminded me of something else. If the same guy, the government guy, erased his mind and erased the babysitter's mind, why isn't he telling the family, hey, do you know that Jack-Jack has some powers? Right?
Seems weird that he... knew.
That's weird.
Nah. Not really.
Nah. Maybe. Okay. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. That's a lot to her.
Did you wait for the ending?
Was there something at the very end?
Yeah.
No.
They give you like a super small thing of like what's still out there.
What is still out there?
What do you think is still out there?
Oh, I don't know.
Who's the next villain?
Oh, it's like someone we met?
Yeah.
Oh, Frozen's wife.
No.
Shit. She looks really pissed off every time he leaves.
You don't see her ever.
No, but that's funny.
You just hear her.
You maybe just hear her. Yeah. Give me a clue?
Yeah. It's in both movies.
It's in both movies?
Yeah.
The mole dude?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's a little thing. It's a super small, not even 2 second thing.
Okay.
And it's the mole guy, our whatever his name is.
Yeah. The mole man.
Traveling down, like, he's still, like, maneuvering somewhere.
Okay.
And they just show, like, a little thing of him. Like, that's probably the next one still, because he's still out there.
I mean, yeah, that's another thing that the movie brings up. Again, doesn't really fully explore it. That you just reminded me of is that kind of like Batman in the old cartoons or movies or whatever. He always have you ever caught anyone? No, he never catches anyone.
Right.
Just like a bunch of destruction.
Like watching Batman, Lego Batman, and you're like, he never catches anyone.
And also the bad guy, in this case, the mole man, and others like him, they also like lose out because they spend a lot of money creating that giant drill. They just destroyed for money to buy one back again. Or buy the pieces to make another one.
They don't buy things.
It seems like a weird Ouroboros eating its snake's tail thing. No, but they
steal things.
They can't just steal everything.
Sure, they can.
The black market mine, you know, getting a drill bit.
Yeah, yes, but
dude, I don't
more
know.
More than likely,
this movie is making all the money. It's Finding Dory again, basically.
Did it make a lot of money?
I mean, 150 at least.
Really? Because Jurassic World's coming out also, right?
Yeah, Jurassic. I don't want to see that movie.
Neither do I. But I'm just letting you know.
I mean, I'm gonna see it. I think, but I mean, in general, I'm gonna see it. I may wait till after theaters, unless people tell me it's amazing. It's a different director off. That's the only reason I'm interested.
Oh, is that right?
And it's a good director, not a bad one, but not a great one. But it's pretty good. Way better than the last one. I forget what the last one was. I know it was that the guy who did that indie movie. I know that the indie movie was great and I love it. But like, you know, come on. I think it's Francis Lawrence.
Wednesday box office, $19 million.
By the way, Rob, did you get to $19 million just for Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to see it on Tuesday. We went there. We got there.
I saw Wednesday night.
40 minutes earlier.
So far, $253 million.
Yeah.
6 days.
Yeah.
It beat Finding Dory.
Nice.
Because Finding Dory had $195 on its 6 days.
Damn. Anyway, what I was saying is that, so on a Tuesday, 8 o'clock showing, we were there early enough. It was sold out on Tuesday, and we had to buy the 10 o'clock tickets at 8 when we were there, or before 8, just to be guaranteed to go in. And it was sold out when we got in. It was a line was long when we got to the 10 o'clock.
I went to MovieCon, so I got reserved seating. When I reserved the seats, it was no one had theater, and I had 6 seats, right? And then when I got there, there was about 20 people. And it was a 9:15 showing on a Wednesday. And I was like, why are people here? Like, why? There was 20 people by us. Yeah. There was maybe like 50 people in the theater. And I was like, what's going on? Like, this theater wasn't supposed
to be. No, my movie theater. Wow, I went to the station over here and it was like super busy.
Well, Tuesdays are $5 at AMC.
Super busy. I'm just saying.
It's the summer, so.
Yeah, I think it was.
No, the only reason it wasn't packed, people had just gotten out of watching Jurassic World.
What day did you see it?
Wednesday.
Don't they come out on Thursdays?
No, they had a special release for
Wednesday. Really?
People were coming out with lunch boxes for the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's probably why then. I was going to say, like, I'm surprised how little it was because my entire theater was packed. And the laughing was uproarious. And great, nothing bad happened either. No one was interrupted. It was easy. Nice crowd. Loved it. So that's...
I just kicked people out of my seats. That's it.
That's The Incredibles 2. That's our review and even our review of how we watched the film. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our second film of the evening, which is another sequel that we didn't know we were going to get. That's from a while ago. It's, you know, it's that Pacific Rim Uprising. They uprise a Pacific with rims. Find out what that's about. Stay with us.
We were born into a world at war. Between the monsters that destroyed our cities and the monsters we created to stop them, we thought we had sacrificed enough. But the war we thought we finished is just beginning. And the only thing standing in front of the apocalypse is us.
Jake Pentecost reunites with Mako to lead a new generation of Jaeger pilots. And this is Pacific
That's
Rim.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, nice. I was really excited. I thought you were pausing for dramatic effect.
Yeah. This Pacific Rim Uprising. Starring John Boyega, Scott Eastwood, Kaylee Spiney, what is his name? Bryn Gorman, Charlie Day. A bunch of other people. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Directed by Stephen S. DeKnight. Or DeKnight.
Or or duck nicked?
No. Not that one.
No. Okay.
No, he did an episode of Daredevil.
The Netflix show?
Directed wise, this is his first movie.
Well, you know what? Actually, kind of. Okay.
And it's written by him too. He did a bunch of other writing though.
Okay. That makes sense. That tracks. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yes, it did.
Yeah. So I can believe that pretty easily. We're recording. That's great though. So you chose this over
the Mr. Rogers one because we couldn't get to see it.
No, I know that. I'm saying over the many other options that there are there, you know, when it comes to like, oh, we can't make a movie on time and we have to scramble and find another recent release that we haven't reviewed. Were there other options, like other contenders that you wanted maybe?
You know what? I didn't bother looking into other contenders.
You were just like, I saw a Pacific movie Rim, that
I haven't seen. I haven't seen this movie, right? Yeah. I remember it came out earlier this year. It just came out recently to rent, I think last week or this week, whenever this episode comes out.
Yeah.
So it was still all new enough. And it's a movie that I missed this year. I don't know you watched it, and I know nobody else has watched it. And I haven't heard anything about it. So I decided to make up my own mind about it. I really love the first one. And I wanted to see what's up with this one. I obviously didn't watch this one in theaters because it doesn't have the pull of Guillermo del Toro. And I think even visually it's not there. You can still tell like some of it was CGI'd when, you know, it's they actually put the detail and the effort into it in the first movie instead of this movie.
Right. I feel like I'm going to kind of echo that a bit where I feel like with the effects or the makeup work or whatever they call it or a combination of all these things, it works sometimes. It's like for a sequel that no one wanted or expected and for it coming out on, January, February, and from a director no one knows and from actors other than Bayona. Wasn't it Bayona?
Boyega,
wow. Other than him, no one knows the stars either. Like, I feel like all this stuff means that they didn't expect it to make much money. For that kind of movie, it surprisingly looked more expensive than I thought it would be. But still, like, the craftsmanship compared to the first Pacific Rim or other, weekly or blockbustery movies is definitely a step down.
Yeah, and I think they did
but
this.
Not all the time, just sometimes.
I like the world, and I like the world for this, you know?
Yeah, I like how they, retrofit. It's like, instead of forcing a square peg into a round hole, they retrofit the peg to fit a round hole. Like, it's like they tried their best to, change the shape of whatever they had in their inventory to make a movie to fit this world that was created, how long ago was it now?
It's been a couple of years. Maybe
it's been like seven?
Somewhere like that, yeah.
70, whatever. Whenever the first Pacific Rim came out. I think they did their best. Like, they didn't try to force something as much as they were just trying to make things fit to the world as opposed to trying to force the world to fit itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I give it credit for that. It's kudos for that. But otherwise, I just want to see a fun movie. And I had fun with it. Those are, as far as first impressions, whatever. I said this before when we did the recent discoveries for that week or whatever. And I remember I had fun with it. Definitely not a good movie. I mean, when I actually read reviews after I said that in the podcast, I actually read some reviews or heard other people talking about it and they were giving it shit. I'm like, well, yeah, but I didn't expect anything, so I enjoyed it. So, I guess that's my two cents on the initial impressions. Anything else you want to get on from? Or?
No, I mean, I enjoyed it also. There was good action scenes. Some of the stuff just felt, there's some weirdness going on in the movie where I feel like we're rushed and then all of a sudden things happen a lot faster than I think they should happen in real life, but whatever.
Right.
Like,
if you question one thing in the movie, you'll start pulling the thread. Kind of thing.
And then the thread just,
how did this girl build this machine here?
Yeah, it's like wearing a shirt that you really like and you pull the thread and you're like, oh man, I kind of messed the shirt up. The other has a hole in it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, let me make sure it's fine. And then you keep pulling on it and you're like, well, the sleeve fell off. I'm not wearing the shirt anymore.
Yeah. That's, So, like, don't ask questions. I didn't ask too many, but there were so many. Like, Charlie Day is doing something here. And some of it does kind of work. Other it doesn't. But I like how they piggyback from the first film about it. So,
yeah.
The action was competent. But, man, I remember the action in the first film a lot more. Like, I remember that more. Like, I've only... So I didn't actually rewatch it off the way you did. You saw it yesterday. I haven't seen it since theaters. I figure I know the movie well enough. I just researched in-depth plot synopsis on Wikipedia just to make sure I have everything in my head. And I saw one clip, actually. And so I remember more of the other Pacific Rim, the first one, years ago, than I do this one already.
I do, too.
Yeah. Action-wise. So it doesn't have staying power, but it's not bad.
Yeah, I think the best action in this movie, in this one, is the scene when they fight the other Jaeger.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yes. It's almost like the Nega Jaeger, the one that's controlled, the one's controlled by, an evil force or something, like a hackable Jaeger, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and, yeah. I remember that when I first saw it, I'm like, is this the whole movie? Because this is still the first half. Is this the whole movie where they're going to just fight like renegade Jaegers instead of the monsters? Like, I wasn't sure where they were going to go with it first because I'm like, well, in the first movie, they pretty much destroyed the hole, you know, where they were coming from. I'm like, how are they going to bring that back, you know, in a logistical, like, sounding way? And they managed to do both, essentially. Like, they managed to do both. But I really was worried there was just going to be, like, mech-on-mech battling, mech-on-mech violence. You know how it goes, rough.
Yeah.
But I was actually elated that it got more monster-y overall. John Boyega, what do you think of his performance? You know, him being Star Wars dude and all that shit. Like, did you like his charisma on screen? Was it weird or awkward?
I mean, I didn't know what to expect. He plays the son of
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba's character, the Pentecost guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's supposed to be playing this, he's supposed to be really badass. But fell down the road of not being there and bullshit.
It's like one of those renegade things. If your dad is something, you can't be that thing. Like, you have to renegade, rebel.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he did. And, I don't know. I just felt like his character was meh. That's the problem. Other than that, I mean, he did an okay job. He didn't do anything spectacular. And he didn't do anything, you know, too crappy either. Nothing felt dumb besides some hokey lines, but you can't blame the guy for he didn't write his lines, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I feel about the same, except that what I didn't like, I did like the idea of him becoming like a teacher for these kids, but the idea of forcing these kids to take up the eventual mantle this soon is was kind of ridiculous to believe. What do you think of the whole, the stuff they stitched together from the first film, they took the whole pairing of the mind idea, so they didn't take that out, so that's good. They used something very crucial with Charlie Day's character from the first film as the reason why all this shit is happening in the second one. We won't spoil it, but what did you think of all the stuff they combined or they stitched together to make the sequel viable? Like, how did you feel about that?
Oh, I felt at first like they were calling back a lot. Mm-hmm. And I did appreciate the stitching of the Charlie Day thing. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Other than that, everything else that came was just stuff that, remember the first one? That's how I felt, so.
Yeah, okay. Did it feel preachy about, like, the first film?
No,
okay. No. I didn't feel that way, though.
No, the thing that did feel preachy about the first one was the whole scene with the mind link.
Yes, that's right. That was
that felt a little bit more too much. Like, okay, we know we have issues with it. We know your mind can be unstable. You only needed to show us once, and that's it. And they took it too far. Like, because we wanted to see backstory with it, I guess.
Yeah.
But we didn't need to, you know? Like, we got it. She told us already.
Yeah, good. Okay, cool. Let's get into spoilers for the movie. Not that we really should or need to, but we're going to do it just so we can talk more freely. So, spoilers for, what is this, Uprising? Downsizing? Pacific Rim Downsizing, starting right now.
told you she's not a toy.
You're gonna get us killed. I can get us out of here.
I just got us out. Oh my God. That's November Ajax.
Pilots of unregistered Jaeger. This is the Pan Pacific Defense Corps. Power down and exit your comm pod.
No, don't give up. You give up way too easy.
That's what they think.
Of Code 10, Section 14, operation of an unregistered Jaeger.
Hang on!
No, I'm hanging on!
Hang tighter!
Okay, so the thing, of course, is that Charlie Day is a real baddie, and here is my biggest gripe with the movie. This is the one time, Ralph, I couldn't shut my brain off in the whole movie. The one time I was like, Oscar, don't question it. If you don't question it, the movie's better, right? Like one of those things. Is when Charlie Day, they first destroy the three monsters, right? The kids are on the mechs, on the Jaeger. And they destroy the three monsters. This is before he combines them all. Charlie Day and his evilness, he releases these little bots, smaller bots, right? And my first thought was like, holy shit, they're fucked. They can't stop all of these from essentially like cluster bombing and sacrificing themselves on the mountain or whatever they were going to do up there to destroy the world or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, and I think the problem they do in the movie... was that they said, holy fuck, we know they can't stop those monsters, those little things, so what are we going to do? I got a better idea. We make these creatures, make one big creature instead. Right? This way, there's an actual solvable solution where they can actually kill this final boss and not have an issue where they can't kill these final boss.
Then you know what you do when that happens is that you invent something else where...
I was too lazy.
No, I'm just saying that because why introduce the way better idea and then make that idea the worst idea for the villain? Like, it makes him look... It's just really awful.
Well, I just felt like
when
we were watching...
First was like,
I felt
shit,
like we were watching Power Rangers. And they threw out the thing to the staff to make them grow bigger.
Like, I feel like some of the creatures, like the first monster in the first film, like the one in Alaska, and you think of the one, you know, where they, you know, like where they use a ship as a bat in the first movie. Like, those monsters were, like, resilient. They almost had, like, emotions with them. Like, if you punched it too hard, or if you severed a limb, like, they would want revenge for that. These monsters don't act like creatures. They don't act like beasts. That's the difference, maybe. One is more like an engineered, you know, game monster, and then the original film had them like beasts, you know? So I felt, like, different, and it felt more tangible. And I think there's, a loss in translation thing going on there. And also, like, I wish, you know, some of the action at the end was better. You know, you see that, you know, that one scene in the trailer. Did you see the trailer for this movie?
No.
Okay. One of the trailers is when they show all the mechs with all the kids and they, you know, bust out their weapons. And that's, like, clearly in one of the trailers. And other than that hero shot, I guess, I didn't see anything inventive at all in that whole action sequence. And where were they, in Tokyo, right? It failed imagination. Like, the scenes before that, the action scenes before, hell, chasing the little girl's mech around the city was way funnier and better and more exciting than the final thing.
I actually thought we were going to see more of that.
Yeah. It was
of that style of thing, because, like,
they brought it back. That was kind of cool. But otherwise, like, no. And they brought it back in such a weird way. Like, with that girl that owned that company thing, the droid company. Like, what the fuck? I'm like... I mean, a cool reversal overall because she looks hella villainous, but still, it's not. It did not pay off in a
hella
good way.
Hella villainous.
I mean, dude, she was mean.
Yeah,
her fucking crow's feet or had crow's feet. I don't know what that means, but just mean.
Yeah, sure.
I think I associate crow's feet with meanness. Mm-hmm. What else do you want to talk about? I mean, you know, this is not like Einstein level anything, but did you want to reflect on something or talk about something we haven't said? Or, I don't know. I'm glad they didn't force a love story again, so that's good. That was good. I wish I had more backstory on the kids instead of just one kid.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, so, like, because one of the kids died, right, at the end? Didn't give a shit. You know, just don't get, I didn't even know his name.
We did get more information off of what his backstory is.
We got the Russian kid a little bit, the bully one, like a little bit, you know, but, you know, that's it. You know, that's not enough. Like, I feel like if the whole movie was their perspective and we saw through news clips instead of, like, watching the actual sequence, maybe, what's happening in the world, mm-hmm. and maybe having them prepare and train and show badass scenes with that, mm-hmm. you know, I think the final scene would have paid off way better than the lackluster, you know, stale thing it was.
Yeah.
Shit like that, you know, it's really easy. But I like the whole Mako thing. I didn't like how she died. It was kind of obvious, but... Like, I actually like that whole helicopter bad Jaeger thing. Did you like that? I don't know. That's kind of a cool scene to me.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I asked you, and I took over the question, but did you have anything else you want to talk about?
No. We pretty much touched base on everything that the movie had to offer. I feel like what's funny is that we got introduced to a character that which is the partner of the gypsy, whatever, what's the name of that?
Danger.
Yeah, of Gypsy Danger, of our main character, and we never got a backstory off of him. We didn't need one.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a character, and I felt like the movie did a really good job with that, and it failed at most of the other characters.
I see your point. Yes, you're right. I also didn't like Well, I mean, it made sense because they had to have a connection with Mako to make the son of Idris Elba's character, you know, be a main character. Like, it felt like too cheesy. Like, you know, it's like one of those, like a Star Wars thing. Like, everyone has to be a Skywalker, right? Like, no. It felt a little like that. But I was like, it was barely believable enough for that connection with Mako, who was like an ambassador or like a, you know, a big-time diplomat. Big-time advocate and shit in the world. Yeah.
Well, I really liked the one line that I was like, oh, that ain't going to happen. There's this part in the movie, what's it called, where it's like, okay, you're just on escort duty. All you have to do is, when they get attacked by the other mech,
mm-hmm.
all you have to do is stand there and look pretty. And then they have a rough landing because he hasn't ridden a Jaeger in forever. And obviously, it all goes to shit. And I was like, that's not going to happen. This is about to go all to shit.
Yeah.
No one says, all right, guys, it's easy day today. You know, there's not going to be many things to go on today.
2 days to retirement. Let's make
right,
it
exactly.
easy.
Right, exactly. Way to jinx a guy. You know, we're about to get, like, triple homicide or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're right. Pretty obvious. Yeah, so that's our unfortunately not very substantial review of a not very substantial film, and we knew that going in, but it's okay. But if you were interested in watching it, or if you are, you know, if you saw it and you're like, man, there are no reviews for this movie because no one wanted to review it in the world, well, you got one here, and I hope you enjoyed it. And we're going to take a quick break, though, and we come back. We're going to review our third film here, which is a marathon pick. Rob, you picked a marathon this time. What is that film?
Quack Soup. I mean, Duck Soup.
Take this, you fucking quack.
Yeah, take
it. Cool. Yeah, Duck Soup from 1933. It's an oldie but a goodie-ish. Stay with us.
Oh, Your Excellency. We've been expecting you. As chairwoman of the reception committee, I extend the good wishes of every man, woman, and child of Fredonia.
Never mind that stuff. Take a card.
Card? What'll I do with the card?
You can keep it. I've got 51 left. Now, what were you saying?
As chairwoman of the reception committee, I welcome you with open arms.
Is that so? How late do you stay open?
I've sponsored your appointment because I feel you are the most able statesman in all Fredonia.
Well, that covers a lot of ground. Say, you cover a lot of ground yourself. You better beat it. I hear they're going to tear you down and put up an office building where you're standing. You can leave in a taxi. If you can't get a taxi, you can leave in a huff. If that's too soon, you can leave in a minute and a huff. You know you haven't stopped talking since I came here? You must have been vaccinated with a phonograph needle.
The future of Fredonia rests on you. Promise me you'll follow in the footsteps of my husband.
How do you like that? I haven't been on the job 5 minutes and already she's making advances to me.
Rufus T. Firefly is named president, dictator, of bankrupt Fredonia and declares war on neighboring Sylvania over the love of wealthy Mrs. Teasdale.
Yeah, all this good.
That's the gist of the movie.
That's the whole movie.
Duck Soup. Directed by Leo McCary, starring Groucho Marx, Harpo Marx, Chico Marx, and Zeppo Marx.
You think they're actually related or no?
Probably not.
Nah, I don't think so.
Okay. You could also call them the Marx Brothers. Also, Margaret Dumont is in this.
Yes.
Raquel Torres, Louis Colhern.
Yeah, I think it's Louis too.
Yeah, I think it's Louis too. So this is a really short film. This is my first time actually seeing it in one go. I've never actually seen it in one go. I've seen pieces of the movie.
Are you familiar with Beyond Duck Soup? Because Duck Soup is the most popular.
Yes, it is. And I have seen Night at the Opera. And I think that's it.
I'm going through this, make sure I don't remember. I don't forget. I don't think I ever saw Animal Crackers. Have I seen it? No, I don't think so. I'm going to go with no. I've seen Monkey Business, Night at the Opera, and, oh my God, I think those two. And Casablanca? That sounds familiar. Just those two. Then maybe I have seen the other one, Animal Crackers. I know I haven't seen Horse Feathers, so I've been wanting to see it, but I haven't seen it yet. Okay. So we're not unfamiliar with them, but not super familiar with them either.
Exactly.
All right, so tell us your thought process of choosing this film and thinking about it now having seen it in its entirety in one sitting.
Thought process of what?
Of choosing this film for our marathon.
Heavy inspirations. Remembering watching this movie in pieces. I was going to pick Night at the Opera. But I had seen it recently, and I kind of wanted to use an excuse to watch this movie. So I used it. Nice. That being said, choosing this movie, if I remember correctly, the Marx Brothers are mile a minute type of people, and the jokes are a go. If something doesn't land on you, you missed it, you're on to the next one. And if you're not catching that one, you already missed two jokes. You got to catch up. You got to keep up. Right?
Something recent that reminds me of that is the Lego Batman movie. Right, which has a ton of jokes.
So that being said, that I think super heavy inspiration, if not just about exact remakes, not remakes, but exact inspirations, is Mel Brooks movies. Blazing Saddles is one for that. It just kind of brought to mind this movie also. Mm-hmm. Just obviously a lot longer version of it, because Blazing Saddles, I think, is like an hour, 2 hour movie or something. In comparison to this one hour short. Yeah. But it doesn't feel like a short movie, this 1 hour movie.
Yeah.
It feels a lot longer. And we'll have a discussion about that later. Yep. But also inspiration-wise, I think it's... wow, that was easy. I think it's... you have... what's it called? Woody Allen. I just think... Why Woody Allen is just nonstop go. At least his earlier films. Not current.
Like Bananas...
Yeah. Even you could even put what's his name? Oh, what's that big one? What's the Manhattan in there? Where he's just constantly talking and going into it and his thought process.
I think he makes it more about his neuroses.
He does make it more about his neuroses
because the rest of the people around him don't do that.
Yeah, no, I get.
And there are straight people in Duck Soup too, but the Marx Bros are four of them, so it's four of them constantly.
That's the thing, though. There's a big difference there, right? But I'm talking about if his more original films are that. Mm-hmm. But I think you could still even get, I'm saying up to Manhattan, even up to Manhattan.
I feel like there is something that inspired, you know, Brooks and Allen to a small, if not even bigger extent in the way that you're saying it. I do think that there is some of that in there. And I don't know, like, can you say, I think I could say even that without Marx Brothers, will we have their styles?
I don't know. Interesting.
Because, you know, this is... they were doing films for a long time, 20s to 30s. This is 1933. So, I mean, it's kind of hard. You can't go that much farther back.
Right. You really can't. So, well, what do you go back to? I guess...
Birth of a Nation?
No. You go back to... what's it called? What's his name? I can't think of his name, though. Charlie Chaplin.
Chaplin. And also the other guy that was really big that everyone forgets. Not everyone forgets, but... everyone's like pissed at me for not remembering the other guy who was really big into the silent stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of those, and those are, you know, also can be a mile a minute. It's just the humor is physical only.
Yeah, well, right? It has to be.
Right, it had to be. Not to say, by the way, Charlie Chaplin has done some voice stuff before when voice was still, he was a huge actor already. But yeah, definitely. The Dictator, for example. But that isn't like this movie, though.
Yes.
So that's a big difference. And this movie has it with dialogue. Mm-hmm. So maybe it did create that style of dialogue. Because
it might have.
Then we get His Girl Friday. We get the It Happened One Nights. And we get the, you know, those fast-talking things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That aren't even supposed to be comedy, but they're kind of like only used as comedy until people realize, you know, we could make a swanky con movie.
Right.
When they talk so fast. Or a business movie. Or a movie with businessmen and super serious stuff, but talking really
fast. And then
fast.
We're changing things also.
And then we're just adding right. things and changing
and then
things.
We also, I mean, direct inspiration also. Three Stooges, there's no way you don't get that from this.
Right.
Three and Stooges, I feel like it's almost...
It's almost like Chaplin and Marx Brothers on that one.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
Yeah.
It's a little less toned down. It's not as fast-paced, but it is pretty much there.
Yeah, it's also like, I think the Marx Brothers deal in like... They're not childish. I mean, the characters they portray are childish. And, oh, by the way, we forgot to mention this at the top, but this is an hour-long movie. It's basically a long short. We're going to spoil the whole thing. We're not going to have a spoiler session for a movie that's 1,000 years old.
We basically spoiled it.
The plot is the movie. It's really not that complicated, guys.
It really isn't.
So, I'm just saying that now. What I was trying to say that I forget, and I'm forgetting. Did I forget it? I got it. I forgot it. What was I saying? Anyway, oh yeah, that they are childish characters, but the humor itself requires you to be an adult to understand it, even though the jokes are very childish. I guess that's the best way I can describe it, because a child will not understand all the jokes. They would get like, you know, when they say like,
it's like they're making a
top of the morning, like, oh, you mean top of your, you know, when they say some other play on the words, a kid can enjoy that, of course.
Yeah, but it's like they're making poop jokes.
Yes.
But they're making poop jokes when it's like, okay, but there's a subtext to it with something else.
Like a sexual joke that a kid wouldn't understand.
Yes, exactly.
You know. Oh, my God. And the way they treated Teasdale so much just because she had some weight on her. Like, he kept doing with the fat jokes. I'm like, man, the thing, you can't do that today. Not in that fashion.
No, you can't.
And it did kind of, like, bum me out a little bit because it kept going and going. He kept going and going. And the only thing most unbelievable about this movie is that in a world full of straight-laced people, including Sylvania's president and presidency and Teasdale and everyone else, the cabinet members, is that why did they allow him to be the president? That's the only strange
thing. She nominated him.
Yeah, but I like there's nothing in her character that made it believable that she would advocate for him, for Firefly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she's straight-laced, too. If she wasn't, or if she was, like, well, let's say, like, she was on medication or took a lot of laudanum or something,
right. I'll bring up something because the Fredonia is supposed to be USA. Am I correct?
In many ways.
In many ways, right?
I mean, sure.
That's the way I portrayed it.
I mean, yeah. It's pretty difficult.
There's somebody with a lot of money who's bailing us out, right? Because she's the one with the money, right? And so she gets to pick.
Right.
And the way I see it is the people with a lot of money here are the lobbyists. And the person who picked, we picked Donald Trump. Boom.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Modern.
And his ridiculousness has led him to war over something petty and spiteful.
Yeah.
Over a fight that he
had with himself.
Yeah, he had it with himself.
He actually just thought about what the worst case scenario was, and then he was so heated about it
that he
went along with it because he thought it happened already.
Right, and his ridiculousness led to a war between two nations, a lot of soldiers dying, and blah, blah, blah.
I love how the movie ends. The movie just ends very abruptly.
I guess now that you said it, now that you opened it up the Trump cage, so to speak, I can't unsee it.
Yeah, it's hard to.
I can't unsee how one man's ridiculous actions and petty nature lead to such disastrous consequences. And it's not funny, but this movie's portraying it to be really funny in a punchline. And it's a punchline the whole time. Right. It doesn't take it back out.
Right, but there's long con jokes in this movie where there's from the beginning of the movie or the beginning of a character in this movie, like the first 10 minutes or 5 minutes.
Like the opening, how it always gets introduced.
Yeah.
With the Firefly thing.
Right. That happens throughout the whole
choir
movie, right?
Thing.
Perfect. Yeah. Right, every time Firefly enters a room. There's things that last a little longer. There's like the lemonade guy. Lemonade stand. That goes throughout the whole movie to the very end, basically. And they play out the long con on that. They're like, okay, we're gonna pan this out. If you weren't paying attention, it's going to fall short on you, right? But if you did, hopefully you like it a lot, right? And I think it plays out great. I think it finishes great. I think just, you know, somewhere in between the middle, it was just like, we had enough of this.
Yeah, like Raph said, you know, it felt longer than the hour. And I agree because some of the stuff is, I mean... It's strange to say that a movie that's not about making sense makes no sense, and I have a problem with it. But like it's too extraneous. Like they go two beats longer on a lot of jokes and setups than they should be. It feels awkward and pacing weird. Like, it doesn't feel like it's as natural comedically scripted as they think it is. I think they indulge themselves, the Marx Brothers and company, they indulge themselves in the jokes that they're saying, and maybe it's much more improv than we imagined. Also, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be. It could not be. It's also kind of hard to. It's kind of really hard back then to improv this kind of thing because film stock and recording equipment, everything had to be kind of laid out before.
Yeah. A lot of it looks like one shot, one done, we're done. Let's move on to the next scene.
Yeah, there's no cinematic like prowess going.
I mean, there's some bad cuts. There's two bad cuts that I remember. But, yeah. But for the most part, it does feel very fluid.
Yes. Yeah, it does feel overall fluid. I just think that for all the jokes, like. Some of them did not feel necessary, and I include the lemonade stand guy because it's like a three-act thing, you know, the first time, and they really mess with him. And they mess with him only, like, because they bump into him and decide to just mess with him all the way. And then they end up putting his hat in the fire, and they drive away his business. And the second time, it's just, I think, Harpo, the styling one, who burns his hat up again after he shows up. He tries to also play their way of, you know, by stealing his peanuts, eating it, not caring, but he clearly cares. I think that joke went way too long, and I didn't care, and I didn't know why it was there. And when we get to the third act, the third joke towards the end, if not the end, you know, Harper ends up like bedding this girl who ends up being his wife, and that's really funny when you first. And but that goes too long.
Yeah,
it goes too long by a whole minute easy. And I'm like, okay, I loved it, guys, but like, you know, cut it there.
Yeah,
so that's how I felt.
I do agree there.
So I feel like, and this is my third time watching it, maybe I've seen it four times, and this is the one time where I've come away thinking less of the film. And I do think because they indulge too much in their genre, or in their style, or on the day of that set, or whatever they were doing, I think they do it too much. Which could be, maybe that's what makes them great in the beginning, but too much, they should cut it. The editor should just cut some stuff. So, anything else you want to say? Or the plot in general, the politics of it all, or anything like that, or Teasdale shit?
I mean, there's really not much to say about the plots. I mean, it's just...
Like, did you like, or did you find it at all, like, annoying or troublesome that Firefly allowed the traitor free and on his ranks? That seemed like they just made it up. I know he made it up on the spot. Like I don't totally understand his case, and I'm with him now, and I see his outcry for drama and help. Like now he's on his side. You arrested him.
Yeah. Well, you called for
stealing for his war plans.
Right. You called for this.
He called for this. It doesn't make any sense.
I like it how they do a callback to this in the beginning because he does the whole twisting around. What's his name?
Chico?
Yeah, he does all the twisting around, right? He'll say something to you, he'll answer it a different way, he'll make you respond, and then he'll be like, okay, now let me ask you the question, right?
Yeah,
he does that a couple times, and he does that to Groucho, right? And then Groucho doesn't fall for it a couple times. He's like, no, like, I'm smarter than that, don't try to turn it on me, right? But then he ends up falling for it later when he's like, well, I need a representative, like, you can get me, and then he makes him his representative, and he gets him along with his thing, and then after that, so he doesn't look like an idiot. It's almost he just like, has to deal with it.
Groucho has almost like his problem is like fear of missing out. Like his fear is to miss out on the joke.
Yeah.
Like if he can't do a yes and to him, then he fails as a human being. So his yes anding led him to let this guy free.
Exactly.
And do all those horrible things and create a war and shit.
Right.
It's almost like that's what he can't not do. He can't stop himself from yes anding.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think that's the closest thing I could think of, which is funny in its nature, but maybe never funny in actual reality.
Yeah, for this plot, it's just non-existent.
Maybe it doesn't work well in this movie. Yeah.
I mean, the plot is actually probably what holds this movie back, if anything.
Right. It's almost like it should just be a series of sketches.
But you need something, right?
Yeah, I guess, definitely, you need something to be a movie.
Exactly.
But, I don't know, I wish it was, I mean, in a way, maybe back then, this mirrored much better with the people. Maybe. Obviously, it could have easily, because it's super famous.
Yeah.
There must be a reason.
I mean, there's iconic scenes
this is why it's original.
There's iconic scenes that make, that you see this, and you're like, oh, I've seen that in many other things, in other movies, other TV shows, other episode of whatever. Simple thing where, you know, they're waiting for somebody to come out, the president, right, or... Right?
Yeah,
and he comes out. He's like, "What are we waiting for, guys? Like he's already there. And then no one realizes he's there already. And then they're like, oh, he's right here. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's on those.
Right, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, that's been in a lot of things.
I mean, have we been spoiled by decades of finessing comedy?
I think we have. And we're at the point where comedy is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, people take like 2 years to finesse their material just to throw it away and work another 2 years on things, you know?
And that's just a comedian's stand-up, which is not even a movie. Right. I mean, they're good ones. Right.
There's plenty of throwaway movies. That's just for an hour set.
Right.
To hold it nice and tight and make a really fucking amazing thing, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah. And so we get the Johnny, you know, the Woody Allens and then the Mel Brooks's. Yeah,
exactly.
Brooks's. Yeah, because Beavis and Butt-Head will always go in history for me, even though it's outdated already.
It's outdated already, exactly. But it's still an amazing movie.
It still holds up in many ways.
You know what? Maybe wait another 20, 30 years. Is it going to be that amazing still? You know?
Yeah, and then we call that Duck Soup, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it feels a little, you know, like we've done way better versions of this.
Right, exactly.
And I already feel that way now, but not with Blazing Saddles. So I think that's pretty good. I mean, for an hour-long movie, it went longer than I thought it would be. But anything else you want to add on Duck Soup?
I love how I love the intro of this movie where it's just ducks in a soup.
In a bowl, yes. In a bowl. Like splashing around.
They're in a pot.
They're
with like it theoretically seeming like they're boiling the water or whatever.
Right, but and they're just having fun frolicking.
They're just having fun frolicking, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that's just the intro with the credits.
Super literal, guys.
Extremely literal, and it has nothing to do with anything about the movie. The title has nothing to do with anything. They just wanted to name it Duck Soup, and they put the soup of ducks out there.
It's almost like to prove the point, like why did you call it duck soup? Well, there are soups. There's a bowl and there's ducks in it.
Right. We
how can we not call
after
it duck soup?
We made it afterwards. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. It's like a joke in itself.
Yeah, it is a joke. So. It's very strange. It's like, can it come up with a title? Maybe the first title was like the Trump?
Yeah.
No. That'd be funny, though. All right. I think that's it for Duck Soup. Check it out. I don't know where you can find it. Rented by
any VOD place.
Yeah. It's not like streaming anywhere that I can think of. So, but that is it for our show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. Remember, you can follow me personally, Oscar, on Twitter and on Letterboxd. That Armen Filmmaker. That's filmmaker with ARMEN. Roth, where can people find you?
After this yawn. Oh man, I'm sorry. You can follow me at Gamer Ralph. That is with two R's and an F.
Sweet. Remember to check out our website, podcast.com, and the show's Twitter account, which is PodMovieCast. And you can send feedback to any of these opinions we've been giving, or if you want to send your own, to PodMovieCast@gmail.com. Next time in 2 weeks, we are a bi-weekly show, so every 2 weeks. 2 weekends from now, we'll be releasing, it won't be our usual repertoire. Is that the right word? It won't be our usual thing. It will be our top 5 films of the year so far.
Yeah, I was about to say we're coming up on that year.
Yes, it is coming up on that time. And we'll also be giving our top 5 most anticipated films of the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great middle part of the thing. Makes us reassess the whole year and assess the future, the next 6 months. And I love doing that. Last year we did, I don't know if you remember, Ralph, we reviewed Baby Driver in the middle because it came out and we were super excited.
You put it on your anticipated, I think.
I think so, because we weren't sure if we were going to review it.
As my
top 5 of that year. Yeah. You put it in that year, yeah.
Yeah, you were. Yeah.
It was really funny. So I think if we find a good one, a juicy one, or something we want to do, we'll add it in there. Yeah. But that's up for grabs right now. It's not set in stone.
Right.
All it's set in stone is the top 5 stuff. So, Rob, you don't have to rush out and catch a movie. I know you're busy and you're sickly lately. Yeah. So nothing too crazy. We'll watch one movie. But I would say make your top 5, though.
I probably will end up watching... Try to do some VODs.
Definitely. Also, Netflix. I catch up on some of those Netflix movies because I hear some of them are good. Not all of them, though. A lot of them suck. Actually, thank God that a lot of them suck because otherwise I'd have much more to watch.
That's true.
So that's going to happen next time. So until then, I'm Oscar.
Ralph.
See you later.
Coffee and pie.
Coffee and pie? Oh, my.
You didn't hear it from me.